Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back. And folks, I wanted to tell you this coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church there at 14781 Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, Ohio. People say, why don't you give the address of the church out more? Well, I'm doing that. It's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road, and that's in Sperry, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. Or you can go up on our website, wrwl.org, and get all that information now. We start with an in-depth Bible study. We start that at 8:30 in the morning, and then that goes to about 9:30, 9:45, and then this other fellow sitting in here with me, he does a Bible study. And then at 11:15, we go into the morning service. And I'm going to be, Lord's willing, preaching this week on, well, the title of the message is going to be The Written Word of God. The Written Word of God. And we're going to take a look at the King James Bible versus all of the New Age. Why is the King James Bible superior in every way? There are almost now 400 perversions of the Bible in English, and Lord knows how many altogether in other languages. So we're going to take a close look at the differences. People really need to know that because especially if you read Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and we're going to see how that prophecy has been fulfilled with the King James Bible. And that's coming up this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Now, and then in the evening service at 6 o'clock, we're going to take another look at the King James Bible, okay? And we're going to do it also with a documentary. Now, we're going to be listening here to a clip. And this clip is about what's taking place in China. The first time we talked about this, because this has been going on for a very, very long time, some things that we just, I mean, unbelievable. When you come into communism, the Antichrist, a godless society, one of the things that we were amazed about in one of our old newsletters, we actually sent out where in China, the abortion, you had a one-child policy. The abortion was so great that you could, and the hospitals actually sold little bowls of aborted baby. You could actually go into a restaurant and buy a bowl of baby soup, okay?
What?
Yes, with aborted babies in it. This was happening there, yeah. We reported on this. In fact, we sent out in our newsletter pictures of that. And in some cases where babies were delivered full 9 months, if you had the money, you could buy, it would be equivalent to what we would have a Thanksgiving turkey. These people would have, and it showed them with 9 months delivered babies actually eating these children, okay? I know this sounds bizarre, but it happened. And again, we sent that out in our newsletter. Now, here again, we're going to be taking a look at this organ harvesting thing. Folks, this is not a time to say, oh my gosh, how evil, or, and it's not a time to be stupid and not realize that these things are happening. These things are happening, and the reason it's happening is very clear. It's spelled out with you. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, the deeper we get into the great apostasy, the more evil. Now, we're in what is called the evil day, and things are going to get even worse as we get closer to the Lord's return. So you need to be prepared for this. As things get evil, get worse, then we have to be, we have to be more determined. we have to be more fierce than ever in our fight as we, like, keep our eyes on the cross, like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross. We have to be more determined than ever to run to this battle, okay? Remember, we have right on our side, and we serve an almighty God. He's never lost one yet, and that won't happen. So with that, go ahead and take the clip.
For over three decades, the People's Republic of China has been accused of harvesting the organs of its own citizens by force. The victims are killed in the process, and their organs are used in transplant operations. This organ trafficking is a human rights abuse that affects all of us. But what is forced organ harvesting in China? How does it differ from transplant systems in other countries? And what evidence is there that it's taking place? Most countries have a voluntary donation system. Recipients wait for an organ to become available, sometimes for 3 or 4 years. When a donor dies, the best matched person on the waiting list is rushed to the hospital to receive their transplant. China has a very different system with reverse matching. Recipients pay for an organ to be made available. A prisoner who is the best match for the paying recipient is chosen from a large pool of detainees. The prisoner is then killed and their organs extracted for transplantation. Transplants for organs such as hearts, livers, and kidneys are scheduled in advance and performed in a matter of weeks. It is not possible for an ethical organ donation system to provide transplants on demand. For years, there has been controversy over whether prisoners of conscience are being killed for organs. An independent people's tribunal, chaired by Sir Geoffrey Nice QC, was formed to assess all available evidence. After 12 months, including 5 days of public hearings, the China tribunal concluded that forced organ harvesting has been committed for years throughout China on a significant scale. Falun Gong practitioners have been one and probably the main source of organ supply. And the vulnerability of the Uyghurs to being used as a bank of organs is also obvious. To understand how this atrocity began, we need to go back to the late 1970s when Chinese surgeons began transplanting organs from death row prisoners, a practice that was widely condemned. In 1994, Human Rights Watch reported three key findings. Political offenders and other nonviolent criminals were being used as sources for organs. Chinese doctors participated in pre-execution medical tests and matching of prisoners with recipients, often on a first-paid, first-served basis. And executions were deliberately mishandled to ensure that prisoners were not yet dead when their organs were removed. From 2000 onwards, China's transplant system rapidly expanded. At the same time, the authorities conducted a violent campaign to eradicate the Buddhist Qigong and meditation practice Falun Gong, which is practiced by millions in China. As the labor camps, black jails, and prisons filled with Falun Gong practitioners, so the volume of transplant operations dramatically increased. These rapidly available organs could not have come from death row prisoners alone. And, in comparison, Falun Gong practitioners are a healthier source for organs, as they do not drink or smoke, and do Qigong exercises regularly as part of their spiritual practice. The number of liver transplants in 2000 reached 10 times that of 99. In 2005, the number tripled further. As the Chinese transplant system continued to grow, so did the pool of prisoners. In 2017, Muslim Uyghurs began to be incarcerated in vast numbers, with many reported missing. And although China recently began developing a voluntary donation system, there is still no transparency about the source of organs. From July 2018 to June 2019, members of the China Tribunal with expertise in international human rights law, organ transplantation, international relations, China studies and business reviewed multiple lines of evidence, including testimonies from relatives of deceased victims, fellow internees, and from Uyghur and Falun Gong detainees who were forced into blood tests and organ scans, including chest x-rays and ultrasounds. Some were overtly threatened with forced organ harvesting. Undercover phone call and video investigations from as recently as 2019 revealed admissions by government officials and surgeons that organs are available on demand and that Falun Gong organs are also available. In one forensically examined phone call, the former PLA Minister for Health, Bai Zhuzheng, stated that ex-President Jiang Zemin directly ordered the killing of Falun Gong practitioners for their organs. The China Tribunal also reviewed investigations compiling Chinese records, including bed utilization rates, surgical teams, and hospital revenue that show 60 to 100,000 transplants have been performed each year, far more than officially claimed. In 2010, just one hospital carried out over 5,000 transplants. Other lines of evidence examined include official Communist Party documents of policy and practices, scientific studies in Chinese journals that detail suspicious data consistent with killing individuals for organs, and a statistical analysis of China's organ donation system, showing that organ donation figures have been falsified and do not represent the real numbers. Based on these lines of evidence and proof of other acts, the China Tribunal not only found that forced organ harvesting has and continues to happen in China, it also found that commission of crimes against humanity against the Falun Gong and Uyghurs has been proved beyond reasonable doubt. But whose responsibility is it to act, and what should be done? Medical institutions and companies must abide by their business and human rights obligations. This means cutting ties with China in relation to organ transplantation practice, research, and training. States should enact laws combating international transplant tourism, and Chinese perpetrators should be sanctioned. Governments around the world should take the necessary steps to seek justice, and the Chinese Communist Party should be held accountable for its actions. As global citizens, it is our responsibility to speak out against forced organ harvesting. If we don't act now, many more lives will be lost.
All righty, we're back. Just now, you say, that could never happen here. Oh, yeah? Okay. When they tell you we've killed 65 million babies by abortion, the number is actually twice that, okay? Over the years, I've talked to many of those that were in the child-killing industry, and they'll tell you, look, when they come out, after they've come out, we've had those that by God's grace got saved. They say it's a common practice. You only report one out of every two babies you kill. Everybody knows that within the industry. So, the sewers in this nation have run red with the blood, and that blood is crying out to Almighty God. And this nation, right now, America is standing in the shadow of an angry God. And they don't understand, because of biblical literacy, they don't understand, just like in the days of Noah before the flood, okay, that God is not mocked, okay? And so let me just recently, the head of the CDC said, for those that refuse to take a vax, the unvaxxed, the deniers, that it may be necessary for them. To kill all the white people, because the white people are the deniers. And guess what else they are, when it comes to the so-called climate change. Do you understand what they're saying? It might be necessary to get everybody vaxxed to kill the white people that refuse to get vaxxed. Well, I got a feeling that they're going to run into a whole lot of opposition this time. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, anyhow, that's where we're at. And so we again, like I said, and where does it start? Remember, judgment begins where? The house of the Lord, and it begins in that pulpit. Mm-hmm. And now, Sarah, I did see a bit of an increase this past time when the pastors getting involved on August 8th. It was a small, but it was an increase.
Yeah.
Not nearly what it should be.
Yeah.
Come November 7th, they've got to be out there. And
yes.
And I'm telling people now, if you're in a church and that pastor will not get in that pulpit and encourage you to get out there and vote no on issue one, vote no, then I'd leave that church. I really would.
It's so dire. And I know that at Right to Life, myself and the other people on the committee for church outreach are working alongside of the activities of our issues committee as well to make sure that we communicate clearly to the pastors and the priests in our area of Summit and Portage County and Midland and Stark County the seriousness, the gravity of this, because if their congregants do not vote or they vote yes for this, that's a very serious, severe thing, and consequences will exist. They will be happening. And again, I cannot stress enough to any pastors or any priests listening, please, one of the easiest things to do is promote a no from the pulpit, and then also have voter registration forms available along with absentee ballot request forms. The last day to register or update info is October 10th. The first day of early voting for this election is October 11th. And the sad reality is that we got to push early voting. That's just the sad reality. We lost in August 8th because we couldn't get election day numbers to outweigh the early voting numbers. And after that terrible scissors commercial, which first of all had an incorrect constitution, it was the U.S. one, not the Ohio one, and was misleading on all ends. But the pastors and the priests have got to get behind this.
For a pastor not to speak out and not to encourage his people, not to exhort his people to go out there and vote no, would be a horrible sin, with the Bible referred to as the sin of sodomy, that would be a grievous sin for a pastor to fail to tell his people to go out there, because this is...
But you're not seeing it in the black community. You're not seeing pastors push this. And let's face it, black people are kind of the straw that's stirring this drink, if you will. And that's sad, because you're not seeing it happen there, and I basically they're bought off with the food banks or whatever they do when they give out the free groceries and all of this stuff, and they're 501c3, and so they're basically bought off and low key, and they don't want to rock the boat. They're bought off with having the elections in their churches, and I'm sure they get paid for that. I'm sure that's not done for free. And it's that kind of thing, and that's the community where it needs to be happening. And I don't know what the answer is, but I am saying that that's a big problem.
Well, it's a big problem because, you know, stupid is as stupid does. I got to tell you this here. The black population is about, 13%? What is it? It's over 40% of the abortions in Ohio.
That's right.
Okay. Approximately, yeah.
So what
is that? It's disproportionate nationwide. I mean, basically, there's no growth in the black community in terms of, you know, increasing in the population, because in a lot of places like the state of Georgia, where you're aborting more than you're birthing, so it's a negative. Yeah. It's a negative situation. It's negative growth.
I was at the Northeast Ohio Women's Center today. I was out there. I hold one of the signs from Silent No More. It just says, "A pregnant woman needs support, not abortion." I hold three blessing bags too whenever I go. And by the grace of God, the escorts who are usually there went back to teaching this year. So I was able to give out three blessing bags today. And one was to a woman in a car. She looked kind of confused. I'm like, I'm just going to talk to her. Gave her a blessing bag saying, "Hey, I'm just here to give, like, to offer, you know, true support, encouragement for, you know, positive choices that will help whoever's in there." It was clear she was there to pick up someone, you know, be a great woman and a great parent, just all free resources, just to love and encourage her to really carry out and have a safe delivery. The Dr. Birkins, has had numerous medical license suspensions. Last week, August 21st, a woman left there in an ambulance an hour after closing, by the way. So, you know, she was in there for a while. And the woman, she took the blessing bag. We were very kind. And then she had to take a phone call. I walked away from it, came back when she was finished. I'm like, hi, can I give you my phone number in case you need help? She's like, we won't be needing the help anymore. Take the bag back. Like, you know what? Just in case you know someone who might need it, please keep it. I'm like, can I ask who's in there? She said it was her daughter, 21 years old. She's like, and she looked sad. She was like on the verge of tears. I felt so bad for her. I'm like, did she already have it? She's like, yeah, she already went through with it. I'm like, okay, well, everything in this bag will give her healing and, you know, will help her on this long process of recovery. But there's women who have been through this who, you know, can guide her in a more positive direction after this. Because it is a tragic thing. I didn't want her to, like, shut me up and walk away. I want her to, you know that we do want to help them repent and also to overcome things, to be warriors for life, you know. And at the end, she, you know, said it's already been done. I'm like, we'll just keep it anyway. And then she waved when she left, thank God. But she was just like, I want to support her either way. People have lost the idea of what support actually means. Like you said earlier, Pastor, people think they're being supportive, but they're just enabling. When I taught middle school a couple years ago, I had kids who would be caught in the bathroom next to their friends who were vaping marijuana. I'm like, that's illegal and it's not safe. But they're my friend. I'm like, the way to help them is to not let them do more dangerous things. They might not like you for a few days, sure, but you're helping them stay safe. Christ on the cross, that was a hard thing to do. But that was to support our way to heaven, right? You got to do hard things. And if we walk away and don't confront this battle, that's a sin of omission. If we do not confront this and stand up for truth, there's no one pointing no one's pointing guns at our heads. It's all words. So what? They say some words at you? Move on. Like, it's okay.
We hear you. Here's one of the things we have to understand. Again, remember, no place in the Beatitudes does it say blessed are the stupid. That's what we're taught out there by the media, and unfortunately sometimes today even from the pulpits. But, you know, in all the years, I've debated the other side many times, and I've never lost a debate, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, whoever frames the debate wins the debate, and I don't ever allow the opposition to frame the debate. I won't use the word, you see, pro-choice, because that's a lie. I will not refer to them. In fact, I've had pro-lifers who, on a radio program where they've referred to the opposition, and I told them, don't do that again because that's a lie, as pro-choice when they're pro-death.
Right.
Okay. See, the opposite of life is death, okay? And never refer to an abortionist as a doctor. I know Birkins. Birkins tried to hit me with his car.
I
called, right, but I opened the door and stepped out of the Pizza Hut, and it was next door to the Planned Predators.
Right.
And who was standing there when he saw me? That little rat ran like a little rat. He ran and he squealed to run and hide, you see. Now, if I had been a baby, he wouldn't have been afraid of me. There wasn't any baby he'd have been afraid of. But when it came to being face-to-face with a man, I'm pretty sure he probably wet himself in there, okay? Yeah, we never refer to a bloody abortionist as a doctor because I've had doctors tell me how offended they are. They're offended if you refer to an abortionist.
But that's the strategy. I mean, think about this. Life insurance pays only when somebody dies. So what do you do? It shouldn't be called life insurance. It should be called death insurance.
Yep.
And the same way calling an abortionist a doctor. I mean, like, that's all part of their strategy. Come on, they defended this whole bill that we just lost, women's reproductive rights. It was anything but that. It's the opposite. So, and that's what they do. They have a way of dressing it up. As we say, they sell the sizzle and not the steak. Because the truth of the matter is that what's really there, the meat of the whole thing, they want to dance around and get you to go after something else. But that's just to control your response.
It's interesting you mentioned that because I was just watching very recently this group of Planned Parenthood and their affiliates. They were just giving out the Margaret Sanger Award, right? And the one abortionist, they call her a doctor and the thing, because that's what her title is essentially, but she was an abortionist, and she is describing the...
You need to be about... Sometimes when you pull back, you...
This woman in this clip is, quote-unquote, doctor. She's an abortionist. Was winning this award, and she was reading off comments that other women had sent her who were also abortionists and their experiences doing second and third trimester abortions and their reactions to what was happening. Like, say, if an eyeball falls in their lap, like, oh, gross. Oh, my gosh. Or, you know, other bodily things are happening, or the women's in pain, et cetera, et cetera. And the whole room literally starts laughing after she says, oh, the abortion's going well, I see. The whole room started laughing.
Yeah.
Laughing.
Yeah, amazing.
At baby's eyes falling out of the womb.
Yeah.
Baby's body parts falling out and saying, oh, it's going well. To dismember a child, they are admitting on camera. Now, this person was in the back of the room, but recording it. Admitting of what they're doing. Another woman who spoke before said, why not give it to him? Why not give him that it's violence, it's killing a child? Like, they are admitting to what they're doing, and they are laughing at it. We are that far gone in society, Pastor. It's
well,
crazy.
It's absolute wicked. Well, you have witchcraft involved, the satanic witchcraft.
Exactly.
In the abortion industry, it's from one end to the other. That's what we're up against. You know, what you have to understand, too, is like these women, you know, you talked about those that had the trans mutilation, but these women, they kill their babies. They have a 7 times higher rate of suicide than, seven times. Why? Well, the wages of sin is death. And then, you know, you'll hear when one of these women die in the abortion mill, you know, when they go in there, I mean, it's all you hear. But, you know, the Bible says they deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. So when they take their child in there to die, to kill that child, they deserve. It's actually, it's you say, well, it's a tragedy that this woman died. Well, but the Bible says it's justice.
That's right.
It's justice. But see, our side has gotten pretty dumbed down. And again, they don't seem to understand words have meaning, okay? And no place, again, in the Beatitudes does it say, blessed are the stupid. It just seems like that's being taught, okay? You know, there are right and there are wrong, okay? The opposite of life is death. The opposite of up is down, okay? Cold is hot. We have to learn the words have meaning and to use the correct terminology out there today. This is where the mainstream media has been so affected in dumbing people down out there today. So you have a quick article.
Yeah, I do. It says, and this article basically is this. It says, several House Republicans are not convinced on Biden's corruption evidence. So two reports came out this week by saying...
Rhino!
Yes.
CNN and Politico. Speaker Kevin McCarthy is having trouble getting the 218 votes needed to initiate a Biden impeachment inquiry. And with a slim majority, it's 222 to 212 on with one vacancy. With several House Republicans saying they're not convinced there's enough evidence so far. So McCarthy is considering following the method that Speaker Nancy Pelosi used to ramrod the same procedure on President Donald Trump. Pelosi's authorized an impeachment investigation by the House and then waited a month to hold the floor vote. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and top Republicans have begun to strategize about this same movement. If the Biden administration does not cooperate with requests related to House Republicans on Hunter Biden's probes, sources say that McCarthy has sent even stronger signals of his intentions to do just that. But leadership recognized the entire House Republican conferences is not sold on the politically risky idea of impeachment. Skipping the formal vote, Republicans would allow Republicans to get the ball rolling on an inquiry while giving leadership more time to convince the rest of the conference to get on board with impeachment. During former President Donald Trump's first impeachment, House Democrats ended up voting both to formalize their inquiry and set parameters for the process after initially holding off to do so for a month. And it says several House Republicans who have seen the evidence through their work on the three committees, which is the Ways and Means, Oversight, and Judiciary, have seen enough to call for Biden's immediate impeachment and removal from office. However, some of that evidence is being kept secret from the whole House by Biden administration strict secrecy rules and by obstruction of justice by the Biden crew. And that's the end of the article, but it's very interesting that it looks like they also threw up in McCarthy's face that 4 years ago he called the idea unprecedented and politically motivated and said it undermines the voting privileges afforded to each member of the House and the constituents that they represent.
Okay, let me tell you something about these rhinos, okay? Those that say there's not enough evidence, they're sending a message out there. They're sending a message to the dark money. This is the way it works, okay? I'm not convinced yet, and that message is, the dark money Democrats convinced me, okay, to go against it. And so that's what they're doing. It's the wages of sin is death, but you know what? Money, the love of money is the root of all evil, the love of the money. And it seems like that's what it always comes down to. And it's with all these rhinos. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Years ago when I was leaving West Virginia, my pack was packed, I was about to leave. Mom said, don't say goodbye, I'll see you later. And through teary eyes I saw her smile at me. So I said, I'll see you later, alligator. And it hurt her more than I could realize. Every time I called her up or go to see her, my mother never ever says goodbye. Called her up the night I gave my life to Jesus. I was a new man and it filled her heart with joy. But when I said I've got to go, I'll see you later, I could tell that I was still her little boy. I'll see you later, yes, I'll lock my door tonight. I'll turn the stove on, Mom, I'm gonna be alright. I'll see you later, I'll be coming home sometime. Though my mother never ever says goodbye. And when it was time for her to go to heaven, my mother smiled at me and she was gone. But there's a day when we will be together. So when I'm at her grave, I'll sing this song. I'll see you later, later on up in the sky. We'll be together, I'll be standing by your side. Goodbye. I'll see you later, later on up in the sky. We'll be together, I'll be standing by your side. I'll see you later, I'll be coming home sometime. Though my mother never ever said goodbye. Though my mother never ever said goodbye.
That was a song that was sung by Alistair Coyles, and here, that was the story about the gospel singer he's referred to was our own Danny Ray. It's our own Danny Ray, and that's a song that he said when Danny used to say his mother never said goodbye. And so, there you go. Danny, I hope you're listening. Got to tell you this, we got an email from a lady who wanted to know about the Save Adolescents. This is House Bill 454, the Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. Now, we told you that that was stuck in committee, and Jason Steffens is the one that is keeping it in committee. Folks, we talked about rhinos. We have a number of Democrats that ran as Republicans, and they got elected to the state house, and these are really Democrats as they got elected as Republicans. And what he had told the lady who this sent me that, he was referring to House Bill 68. Now, House Bill 68 was passed, and that was a bill that prevents doctors from giving puberty blockers and hormone therapy to trans youth and bans so-called doctors from performing gender, what they call reassignment, which is, again, mutilation surgery on minors. That's House Bill 68 that passed. But House Bill 454, Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act, remains stuck in committee where Jason Stevens sent it, and he's keeping it there, folks. So you go to the Ohio website, and I'm looking at that now. Okay, anyhow, phone lines are now open. We're going to open the phone lines. They're now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, phone lines are now open. Go ahead, Lisa, and read your article.
Okay, this is from the Gateway Pundit. And in a spine-chilling incident, a vigilant truck driver who goes by the name of Michael became a hero by alerting authorities about a deeply unsettling situation. Michael was parked in a rest area off 110 in a border state when he witnessed a pickup truck pull up nearby. A man and a woman proceeded to unlock a padlock cage beneath a tarp in the back of the truck, from which they released several children. According to the video uploaded by the truck driver, the kidnappers were seen ushering the children into and out of a bathroom at the rest area before locking them back in the cage. I'm sitting in the rest area. This truck pulls up, opens up the back. It's like a cage-looking thing. That guy and this lady have a whole bunch of kids in the back of that truck, and then they take the padlock off, raise the tarp, and all these kids come out the back, and they're forcing them into the bathroom, Michael said.
All right, phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. What we're talking about, folks, is, you know, all of these children that are missing today, and we praise the good Lord for the this guy got caught. But there are, you know, there in this country, hundreds of thousands of children have gone missing. And we talked earlier about organ harvesting, but they're being used. I mean, I'm telling you, the Democratic Party is flush with pedophilia. It's flush with pedophilia out there today. And so it's a horrible, horrible thing what's happening to the children. This is why you need to keep your eyes open all the time. We have to save our children. We have to run to this battle and fight for the lives of the children from time of conception until the time, you know, well, we got to fight for them, period. All.
And isn't Ohio still number one, much to our dismay? Isn't it still number one? This is the number one
human
state.
Trafficking, I think.
Yeah, yeah, for human trafficking. Okay, it's human. I thought it might have been children, yeah.
Yeah. Human, well, children, yeah, that's the trafficking of children. 888-677-9673. You have a question? You have a comment? You better hurry up because we don't have that much time left here tonight. And I know people were on the line waiting to get in, and so then they got apparently got tired of waiting and hung up, right? But anyhow, I got to tell you this very quickly too. James Woods issues a dire warning. They want you in a visible change. Of course, we talked about that, too. Hollywood star James Wood is sounding the alarm about the desire of global powers to keep the world's populace in extreme captivity, saying they want you in chains, not visible, but in chains. And again, folks, you know, it goes back to they want to dishearten you. They want to discourage you. They want to keep throwing things at you. And so everywhere you turn, things you look around, you got the woke generation. You got people really saying incredibly stupid things because, you know, in other words, keep them. What did Karl Marx say? Keep them off balance. Keep them confused. Say one thing, say another. Go one way, go another. Okay. People that are confused, people that are scared, they're easier to control. That was the purpose. So in a message posted on X Wednesday, the actor specified examples of invisible shackles to keep people in bondage. Electric cars that can be traced and turned off by them. I think all the cars with computers actually can be shut down nowadays. All of the new cars will have the computers in them. Electric heat, electric currency, traceable phones, cookies, medical passports, masks. Woods was commenting on a brief video he shared listing the so-called reasons and excuses given by government authorities and leftists for draconian lockdowns and restrictions related to the COVID pandemic. And there's a whole list of them here. He says, it's just 2 meters, 6 feet. So he's talking about the social distancing there. It's just 3 weeks. Talking about that you have to be what confined your quarters for 3 weeks. It's just non-essential businesses. It's just non-essential workers. All of these things that turned out to cause so much damage. I mean, how much damage did they do to all of our society? Why? So Big Pharma can make millions and millions of bucks, and Mr. Fauci could become richer and richer, right?
That's right.
You got to get close to your mic. Pull the mic out there. One of those spongy cords there. I'm going to put it around the mic and around his neck there, getting right up close. So, anyhow, he thinks that mic can bite him. He don't want to get too close to it. It can look scary, I guess, but all right. So there you go. That's what's going on out there tonight.
Well, I guess you know why we got a few minutes. We didn't get to the Maui fires and Oprah Winfrey and the land there.
Yeah, you know what? I played a clip 3 times that talked about the land grab there.
Yeah.
And boy, that is, she's done that in California too. All of those people, they put up an 11-foot high curtain around Maui there so you can't see what they're doing in there. It's very, very obvious. Again, this here was a false flag operation. And see, in all of these things, there's one thing that involved. If you go back to Ruby Ridge.
That's right.
If you go, they were going to try to burn them out at
Ruby
Ridge.
Burn them out, that's right.
Waco, they wanted to burn them out at Waco. If you go to January 6th, okay, there is a satanic presence in all of these things. And that's what took place there, too. It was like sacrifice.
And I mean, and on both sides of that fire, none of her property got touched.
None of the billionaires. I watched. Yeah. You, they had it. It was filmed as it started.
Yeah.
And it started in almost a perfect circle, but it avoided. It burned up the natives, the people, but all the billionaires in their mansions. Now, here's an interesting thing, too. You watched these fires just burst into flames.
Yeah.
The ships, the boats, not the ships, but the boats, not the $50 million yachts out there.
The boats,
right? The regular boats, they burst into flames out on the water. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does that kind of tell you that they weren't set on fire with a grass fire, right?
Yeah, it's just it's very interesting. And I agree that it was very specific and it was orchestrated. It's obvious that was orchestrated.
Energy. These are energy weapons. Absolutely, those fires. But, there's a mindset of people think that these things, that they're planned for somehow, they'll accept them. Let's go out to Euclid. Deborah, right? Is that Deborah? Deborah out in Euclid?
Yes. I was listening to the Dana show on 1300. And are you aware that the Swami guy that's running for president, he is the CEO. He was the CEO for the vaccine.
Do you know that? Yeah, go ahead. Speak up a little louder if you could.
Yeah, she said that he was the CEO for the vaccines, one of the big head CEOs of the vaccines, and then he stepped down and started to run for president. Now I just heard that he's going to be on the Sharpton show, on one of the Sharpton programs. Sharpton was invited him over there, so I don't know what's going on with that. I think he should be vetted. Because I don't think none of them know that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of info.
But the Dana show on the 13th channel, station 1300. I listened to the Dana show, too, besides you and some others. And she said that he definitely needs to be vetted.
There's a lot going on there that I'm not going to get into tonight, but about that, because...
I was wondering why I haven't heard anything from you, and I said something's coming down. So
yeah,
maybe there, you just know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and we mm-hmm. want to be very careful. We do know that he had...
Oh, and he has connections with the Soros, and something about $90 million that he was supposed to be borrowed from Soros, and so I don't know about that. That's a little iffy, but I heard that,
well,
too.
You know, we're going to be addressing that in the future.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Deborah. Let's go out to California, and we have Katie. Katie, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. I love your show. I look for it all the time. You've become like my evening special here, so you're the light of hope, and all of your guests as well.
Well, thank you.
God bless you all as a Christian, and there's plenty of conservatives. We're just quieted here because of, you know, what are we going to do? Nancy Pelosi is Newsom's, you know, auntie. So until we could somehow ask the Lord to send them to where their eternal home is, it's pretty hard to get rid of them. But I was going to tell you, I lived in Oahu. I'm a retired nurse, and I used to do travel nursing. And that Maui thing smelled very bad right away. They're careful people. You know, everybody, just like John Kennedy when he died, you know, the day after he had lunch with Hillary, when he said he would back out for the Senate, and then suddenly everybody said he was dyslexic and stupid and didn't make a flight log. Well, the same thing. I keep hearing people around here say that the Maui, you know, like they're careless, dumb islanders. I was like, no, I lived in Oahu for a number of years. They're actually very on top of things. With their fire department, they don't have any of these.
Well, they had formed a coalition refusing to sell out to the billionaires, and they were under a lot of pressure to sell out. And you notice how quickly Oprah moved, but
and she had bought so much Maui land about back in Clinton's day, around 25, 27 years ago. I remember reading an article that she fell in love with Maui, that the people of Hawaii had to quickly write in a law where they could limit, because she wanted to buy the whole island. And of course, you know, filthy rich people are cheap too. They don't even want to give you a fair amount of money or a generous amount. You know, they think just because they're rich and Hollywood stars, like, I'm special, you should give it to me. And, you know, if you kill everybody and you burn the whole family, it's going to become an estate sale and people will pick it up for a song, right?
Yeah, that's been going on for centuries. That's the way that people have done.
But yet, what I wanted to say is they're Democrats. I'm not saying they deserved it. I've lived there and as a nurse, and I really love the people there, but they're dumb. And I'm so sorry. I'm not part of the show, so I hope I could get away with saying that, because it's a Forrest Gump factor. You know, stupid is as stupid does. They keep voting in Democrat governors.
I hear you.
They ruled with an iron hand on COVID, and they still didn't learn.
I hear you.
It's the whirlwind.
Katie, I'm out of time. I got to go. Thanks for calling. How much time do I have there? All righty, very good. We're coming up on 4 minutes. And I'm gonna ask this fellow right over here, Randy.
Okay.
Hey, Randy, what's the most important thing anyone could ever do?
And that's accept the Lord Jesus, or I hate to say accept, but receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, Lord, Master, Maker, Creator, and Lord of your life, and to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and be saved, because apart from that, nothing else matters, really. Nothing.
So what if you don't believe that?
Then you will when you die. We believe that everybody that died is a believer, whether you're in heaven or in hell.
No unbelievers either place. So, folks, here's what Randy's telling you. Look, okay, you're going to die. That's a fact. That's reality, okay? And when that happens, you can believe whatever you want to believe, you see. But the reality is this, because God has said this, that you're going to end up, when you die, either in heaven or hell. There's no other places, no in between. And believe me, you don't want to go to the latter. You want to go to glory. You want to go to heaven. And there's only one way you can get there, and that is, one, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, and only a sinner can get saved, right? And that
right.
you need a
and
Savior.
Now is the acceptable time.
Right.
Now. And, now is the acceptable time.
And so what you have to do, pray to the Father. Jesus says you've got to pray to the Father, and you acknowledge the fact you're a sinner. You acknowledge that he placed his son upon the cross. He took, because, see, God's a holy God, and a holy God cannot tolerate sin. A holy God must punish sin, okay? And so it was Christ or us. That's who it was. And so the Lord Jesus, he didn't have to do that, and he realized what it was going to be like, but he did it anyhow. Now, he held back nothing. He gave it all for us. And now he's telling us, look, here's your opportunity. Right now, he did all the heavy lifting. What we have to do is acknowledge the fact, ask for forgiveness of our sin, first of all. Repentance is absolutely required. Repentance is absolutely required for salvation. Two, folks, once you do that, you pray to the Father, you ask the Father to forgive you your sins, then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. You got to give, and Jesus said he's got to come before mother and father, before anyone and everything, right? Once you've done that, you will become, God will always, always honor your commitment. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on your way to immortality. You've got God's word on that, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes.
You'll be indwelled by God, and you'll get God's power to do it. All the work's done by God. All you got to do is believe.
And it's not something you want to put off if you haven't
That's
done
right.
it. Because when you hear the preacher give the invitation, the preacher is only the messenger. The message the Lord is telling you. Now, you may be lucky enough to be hearing again, okay? But maybe not.
That's right. That's right.
Because at this exact time tomorrow, maybe millions of people that are on this planet right now that are alive will be here. They're going to be gone. They will have.
That's right. Nobody woke up this morning saying, well, I'm going to die today.
And the Lord Nobody. Jesus made it clear that the vast majority will die in their sin, right?
That's right.
You don't want to be one of them. You don't want to be one
Especially
of them.
Especially when it's been paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So do it tonight. Do it now. We're out of time for tonight. So as we come to this point every night at this time, what we always do is we say,
Good night.
Okay. And when we mean it, and then we say,
God bless.
And then we say what?
Always.
Okay.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.